Amen. How many of you agree with this statement? Benel online here in Orton, how many of you agree with this statement? There are moments in life that change everything. How many of you agree with that? Say yes, right? I would say most of us agree with that, right? There's a couple moments of my life, right, that changed everything. This is a picture of a cemetery in Missouri, in O'Fallon, Missouri, to be exact. This is the nameplate that the cemetery gave us when our son Josiah passed away. He was born in July of 86 and passed away in July of 86, and this moment changed my life forever. This is another moment that changed my life forever. This is my daughter Kana in the back seat. You're looking at a teenager who is a liar, all right? She wanted a dog. Every one of my other children wanted sports equipment, Jordan shoes. She decided she wanted a rescue dog. I never wanted to have a dog in my home, ever. She wanted a dog and I wanted to be a good parent. I just said this, I don't want a dog that sheds. She said, I promise, Dad. She's a liar, all right? Because we have a dog that sheds in our house. A month later, my other daughter bought a rescue dog, and this moment changed my life forever. Here's a better one. This is a triple cheeseburger with a fried egg and bacon between two slabs of French toast with a side of maple syrup that was served at the Daytona Tap Room before COVID. I can tell you, this moment changed my life forever. Right? And before you go looking, they don't serve it anymore, right? So somebody sent me an email last night after the first service saying their new quest is to find this hamburger, right? This changed my life forever. And then this person and this woman changed my life forever. This is my mom. This was the last picture, the last interaction I had with her in 2016 because a few weeks later she passed on before I got to get to Illinois. This is my sister Shauna with her. But these moments, and many of them, these change a life forever, right? The entire letter of 1st and 2nd Corinthians is built on this premise, that there are moments in your life that change you forever, right? And as you learned last week, and as we've been talking about since the beginning of this letter, this is a church full of a multitude of problems. Listen, there's nobody in Bedell, nobody online, nobody here in Ormond that doesn't know this. If you go from being a sinner to being a Christian, the adjustment at times from your old life to your new life can be difficult, yes or no? Yeah, it can be difficult. And guess what? This church was full of people that had no connection to faith. These people were way, way out in left field. They served themselves and their pagan gods. The gospel shows up. They become Christians, start a church, and guess what? They got problems. So Paul writes letters addressing a multitude of issues, and all of them are going to focus on this one thing, and Paul's going to cover it today in our text, and that's this. There is a moment in life that should change everything for us. So let's stand out of respect for God's word, and let's read these few verses together. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul writes this. The very fact that you have lawsuits among you means you've been completely defeated already. Why not rather be wronged? It's a great question. Why not rather be cheated? He goes on to say, instead, you yourselves cheat and do wrong, and you do this to your brothers. Do you not know that the wicked or the wrongdoer will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, he says. Neither the sexually immoral, idolaters, nor male prostitutes or homosexual offenders, he says, or thieves, or greedy, or drunkards, or slanderers, or swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And that is what some of you were. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. You can be seated. What Paul says here is this. There's a moment that should change everything. And unfortunately for the Corinthians, they have forgotten. And my guess is, having done this for a while in my own personal walk and as a pastor, it's something that we all need to be reminded of. And so there are three simple truths we're gonna take from this text. We're gonna build them on words. Here's the first word, right? Everybody say it with me. Wrongdoer. Here's the truth. Paul says this, wrongdoers will not inherit the kingdom of God. Wrongdoers will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now listen, let's get the context, right? Here's what's happening at Corinth, right? Christians are taking other Christians to court and suing them, right, to get money from them, to exploit them. And here's what Paul says. It is a sin for a Christian to take another Christian to court. Sermon's over. Wrap it up. Let's go home, right? That's all you need to know about that. Obviously, there are situations that are fraught with complications when it comes to that, especially if it comes to custody battles or if it is about divorce. But the basic intent is this. If your intent is to defraud somebody, to take advantage of them, and to do that, you need to go to court against another brother. Paul says this, wouldn't it just be better if you just got wronged, right? Or if you just took the loss? Answer, yes. For your Christian witness, it would be a million times better. But he concludes this whole section with this reminder. There are a couple things in life, right, that should change your life forever. And here's the first one. Wrongdoers will not inherit the kingdom of God. Anybody want to say amen to that? Problem is, we're all wrongdoers. Would you agree with that? Right? Listen to Romans. Romans says this. Paul writes, what shall we conclude? Are we any better? Not at all. We've already made the charge that Jews and Gentiles alike are under sin because it's written, there, say it with me, church, there is no one righteous, not even one. Nobody. And he'll go on to say there's no one who understands, no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They together become worthless. He says, and there is no one who does good, not even one. When Paul says that the wrongdoer will not inherit the kingdom of God, guess who he's speaking to? He's speaking to all of us. That's our life, right? All of us. It's the entire premise of the gospel that we all need a savior. He says wrongdoers aren't going to get into heaven. And listen, he lists 10 different sins, but you know as well as I do, that list is infinite of what wrongdoers are. And here's the thing. He says, no one is righteous. Everybody say righteous, right? Righteous, it is a judicial word. It's a legal term meaning this. You stand before a judge and judge declares you acceptable, innocent, right? He says, there are none of us when it comes to God that have that standing. No one has that standing. First Peter says this, right? And this is why we have church. This is why we talk about our mission. For Christ died for sins, for the unrighteous, for the wrongdoer, right? He died for sins once for all. What? The righteous for the unrighteous. Wrongdoer, unrighteous. We now have somebody who's willing to die for us. It says he did that to bring us to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive in the spirit. Listen, the premise of the church is that we believe in our need for a savior. We believe that Jesus, who was righteous, died for the unrighteous. So maybe you're in Bunnell, maybe you're online, or maybe you're here in Ormond, and you've never taken that step. Listen, let's be upfront with each other. We gather together to preach the gospel because we believe in every individual's need for a savior. Anybody want to echo that and say amen? Right? So maybe that's not you today, but maybe it is. Churches are always filled with people who are searching, right? If you're here today, there's a moment in your life that could change everything forever, and that's this, recognizing your need for a savior. Jesus told this parable in Luke 18, and it said this, to some who were confident of their own righteousness, right? Their own ability to be approved and look down on everybody else, he told this parable. Two men went to pray, one a Pharisee, other a tax collector. Pharisee stood up, prayed about himself. He said, God, I thank you. I'm not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and I give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance and would not even look up to heaven. Bible says he beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Jesus' conclusion is this. I tell you that this man, rather than the first one, went home justified. He got his judicial approval before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but he who humbles himself will be exalted. The only thing you need for your life to change forever is to have the humility to admit that you need Jesus. So if you're in Bunnell, online or in here, how many of you have had the humility to admit that you're unrighteous and need Jesus? Let me hear you say amen, right? So Paul goes on and now speaks to us. To those who've made that step of humility and accepted Jesus, he goes on and he gives us this truth built on this word. Everybody say it, deceive. How many of you have ever been lied to? How many of you have ever done anything, because you forgot who you were or you were influenced by somebody to do something dumb, right? And then you said, I do, right? That's how we got married, right? Right? Listen, the reality is this, that what Paul says is this, unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God. That simply means people who aren't approved by God won't inherit the kingdom of God. Maybe that's your stumbling block today. Listen, you're gonna have to work that out with God. The second group of people are people that have done that, and now the Bible says this, do not be deceived, Paul says to his church. That word deceive is the Greek word planao. We get our word planet from it. It means wandering, right? A planet is a wandering body, right? Planao is to wander, which means this, you and I can be led astray. Anybody want to say yes to that? We can be influenced to do the wrong thing. As a matter of fact, right, the Bible says in Matthew 18, he describes us. He says, what do you think if a man owns 100 sheep and one of them, say it, wanders away? He said, will he not leave the 99 on the hills and go look for the one that wandered off? Listen, Bible describes Jesus as our shepherd and we are his what? We are his sheep. We may not like the analogy, but that's a biblical analogy. And here's one characteristic of sheep that stands out. They like to wander away. We like to wander, right? And here's why we wander, because it's so easy to do. Listen to what Paul, you know this is true. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, he says these words, right? Say it with me, church. Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. How many of your parents ever said, I don't want you hanging around that kid, he's bad news, right? If your parent never said that to you, you were the bad kid, right? Listen, the reality is this, you know this, if you're a parent and have raised kids, there are groups of people you don't want your kids to hang around with, not because you don't like them, because you're concerned that they will lead your child astray, yes or no, right? Listen, you know that. Some of you in Bunnell, some of you online, some of you here in Norman, you know it firsthand. You know how easily it is for people to wander away from the right thing because they're influenced by other people. How about this one? He says this in Galatians 6, do not be deceived. Again, the same word, planao. Do not allow yourself to be led astray. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Listen, the reality is this, some of you have been led astray because you believe falsely that you're gonna get away with it. You believe that nobody's gonna know. You have allowed yourself to be led astray under the false assumption that, listen, I can cheat on my spouse and nobody's gonna find out, right? I can watch porn on my phone or on my computer and nobody's gonna know, right? I can lust after this individual and nobody's gonna know. I can lie and I'll never be caught. Listen, it's easy to be led astray when we believe in some poor assumptions. Let's be clear, the Bible says, God can never be mocked because eventually what a person sows, they're ultimately gonna what? They're gonna reap. It's true of everybody. And then 2 Timothy says this in chapter 3, he says, in fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Jesus is gonna be persecuted. He says, evil men and imposters are gonna go from bad to worse, and guess what they're gonna do? They're gonna deceive and they're going to be deceived, right? Listen, we live in a world today where people are deceiving other people quicker than ever. And here's where it's happening the worst, in church. Paul says, for you continue in what you learned and have become convinced of because you know those from whom you heard it and how from infancy you were made to know the scriptures. And the scriptures are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. Everybody say this first line with me. All scripture is God-breathed. It's used for teaching and rebuking, correcting and training in righteousness, that the man or woman of God can be thoroughly equipped to every good work. Listen, it's not surprising to you. It's not surprising to me that the world is a mess. That's not surprising to you, right? But what is surprising is how many churches are walking away from the truth. Listen, Joe says this every week, and I will echo it. Listen, if we're not teaching the Bible, it's time for you to leave. If the Bible isn't being taught as God's infallible word in our church, it's time to go, right? The most important thing we do is direct you to scripture. Do you know how many people have been led astray from their faith because they've listened to false teachers that teach them things that aren't true? It's happening every weekend in our churches today. Listen, here's the reality. Paul says, wrongdoers won't inherit the kingdom of God. But there's a moment in your life that can change everything. If you humble yourself and admit that, Jesus will lift you up. Somebody say amen. And then he says to those of us that know Jesus, it's easy for you to be led astray. Listen, if you could stand on this stage today, some of you sitting where you're sitting would go, man, the place is pretty full this morning. And it is. But if you stood here today, you would see tons of empty chairs, right? And the reality is you'll see tons of empty chairs every weekend across the nation in churches. And I guarantee you, after 40 years of doing this as a Christian and 35 as a pastor, a lot of the reason why people aren't in church is because they've been led astray. They had a really bad Saturday night. They had a really bad week or month or 6 months because they've been led astray. Listen, this is why this is so important. Revelation says to us in Revelation 12, he says there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, who we'll learn is Satan, and the dragon and his angels fought back. Ultimately, the dragon wasn't strong enough, Satan wasn't strong enough to overtake heaven, and they lost their place in heaven. The Bible says the great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, right? And listen to his whole goal, who leads the whole world astray. Satan has only one desire, to lead you astray. John 8 says that when he speaks lies, he speaks his native tongue because there's no truth in him. Listen, Satan's whole desire, Christian, in Bunnell, online, in Ormond, is to lead us astray, to influence us with people of bad company so it'll corrupt good character, right? To teach us to believe in false assumptions that nobody's gonna know, that nobody's gonna find out, that nobody's gonna see, right? And the next thing you know, we're doing things we shouldn't be doing because we're being deceived. Listen, there was a moment in your life that changed everything. And unfortunately for the Corinthians, they had forgotten that. They're acting just like they used to act before they ever knew Jesus, which leads us to the third thing and the third truth of this thing, and that is you were. Everybody say, you were, right? Paul says, do not be deceived. Evildoers aren't going to get into the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. Used to have a state of being like me before I knew Jesus. He said, but you got changed. In that moment of accepting Jesus, and how many of you accepted Jesus? Let me hear you say amen. He says, in that moment, you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified, you were given judicial approval because the righteous died for the unrighteous. Anybody grateful for that? Absolutely. He says, everything changed in that moment. Everything changed in that moment. Right? Listen to what Scripture says in Titus 3, he writes it this way. At one time, we too were foolish and disobedient. Anybody remember those days, right? He says, deceived and enslaved. I was at a gas station this morning. It was about 5 o'clock. I was putting gas in my car. And it was funny because it was sort of rainy, overcast, right? And it was the Saturday night / Sunday morning of second weekend of bike week. And it was like a bunch of zombies at the gas station at 5 this morning, right? They'd had a rough night, had a rough evening, right? A lot of foolish and disobedient people deceived and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures, right? He says, we lived in malice and envy. We were being hated and we were hating one another. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he said. He saved us, not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy, whom he poured, right? He goes on to say this, he saved us through the washing of rebirth, which is why we teach baptism, and the renewal of the Holy Spirit, who he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ, our Savior, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs and the hope of eternal life. Listen, if you know Jesus, that moment should have changed everything for you. Amen, church? Listen, there was a state of being where you didn't know Jesus. And if that's you today, man online, push that button. I have decided. If that's you in Bunnell, find Pastor Kyle and his team. If that's you in Ormond, man, make your way to Guidance Point where we have people prepared to speak with you. If that's you today and you've never known that, today's the day. But for those of us that know Jesus, who can be led astray pretty easily, he says this, there was a moment when you accepted Jesus, that changed everything. He washed you, he rebirthed you, and now he says, you and I should be different. You and I should live differently because of that. He's reminding the Corinthians, listen, you're not who you used to be. And John says it this way in 1 John 3, maybe this will make it more clear. Everyone who sins breaks the law. Whose law? God's law. In fact, sin is lawlessness. But you know that Jesus appeared that he might take away our sins, because in him there is no sin. Now, Bunnell, online, Ormond, everybody read this with me. No one who lives in him keeps on sinning. Why? Because there is a moment in life that should change what? Everything. Listen, I have walked this sentence where I have claimed Jesus, and yet I have lived a life where I kept on sinning. John says those two things cannot coexist at the same time. And churches are full of people that love Jesus. If you love Jesus, but now online, Ormond, let me hear you say amen. Amen. He says this, if you live in Jesus, you can't be keeping on sinning. You can't claim to be Jesus and then live together outside of marriage. You can't be getting drunk all the time. You can't be stealing and greedy and slanderous. You can't be participating in sexually immoral activities and keep on sinning and claim to live in Jesus. John says no. He goes on to the next verse and he says this, no one who continues to just keep on sinning after a moment that should change everything has either even seen Jesus or even known him. He said, dear children, don't let anyone lead you astray. Planao, he who does what is right is righteous, just as he is righteous. And he who does what is sinful, meaning they continue to do what is sinful, is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. Listen, sometimes there just needs to be a cold, hard reality check in our life as Christian people. This was Paul giving the Corinthians a cold, hard reality check. Listen, you got a bunch of issues, Corinth. And they can all be summed up in this. You've forgotten the moment of your life that should have changed everything. There are people sitting here in Ormond right now, husbands and wives. There are people sitting in Bunnell watching online, husbands and wives that have forgotten that there's a moment in our lives as Christians that have changed everything. Our marriages, unfortunately, reflect the state of being before we knew Jesus. There are spouses living with other spouses that are being entirely selfish, being entirely greedy, being entirely sexually immoral. And the Bible says this, if you know Jesus and you live in Jesus, those that do should not keep on sinning. Why? Because such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified. Listen, you've been laundered. You're fresh and clean. And too many times we just keep on sinning. And Paul says, listen, you've forgotten. Wrongdoers aren't going to get into heaven. Only those that know Jesus. And when you know Jesus, that moment should change everything, church. We should be working toward eliminating those things that used to be a part of our state of being. There is no reason why divorce should be higher in the church than in the world. There's no reason why pornography should be such an overwhelming sin to us in the church. Why? Because there was a moment in life that changed everything. But listen, maybe you, like me, had seasons where this is you. John says this. He says, if we claim 1 John 1 right there, if we claim to be without sin, right, we've deceived ourselves and the truth isn't in us. He says, but if we confess, everybody say confess, that word in the Greek means to agree. It means God says it's wrong, and now you're finally at a point where you're willing to agree with him. If we confess our sins, look at God. He's gonna be faithful, and he's gonna be just, and he's gonna forgive you, and he's gonna purify you from all unrighteousness. Listen, just because you've been led astray, and just because you've accepted Jesus, and just because you've kept on sinning, doesn't mean you have to stay there. That was the mistake I made. I stayed for 7 years, even after a point where I didn't want to stay, because I forgot how easy it is to get right. Listen, if you're in Bunnell online or you're in here, listen, if you have accepted Jesus and have kept on sinning, it's really simple. Confess your sins. Confess your sins. And God will be faithful. He won't sit there and go shake his head at you and go, listen, it's time you learned a lesson. No, the Bible says he's faithful and just. He'll forgive you. And not only will he forgive you, church, he'll cleanse you from all of that bad stuff. Anybody want to testify that that's true? Say amen. Listen, God is good. Amen. Listen, the Bible is clear. There's a moment in life that should change everything about us. And if you know Jesus, that's a moment that should change you completely. We're going to close today by reading a verse of scripture together. So I'm going to ask you to stand in Bunnell online if you can, and here in Ormond. Instead of closing with a song to worship, we're going to close with these words to worship God and to thank him. Listen, we all agree, right? We all agree. There are moments in life that change our lives forever. If you know Jesus, that moment should change you forever. Let's read these words together. John writes, and now, dear children, continue in him, so that when he appears, we may be confident and unashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who does what is right has been born of him. If you've been born of Jesus, let me hear you say amen. Amen. Listen, it's time for us to not be led astray and to do what's right. Let's pray. Father, today my prayer is for us to become the church, become your people that you washed us and sanctified us and justified us to become. For anybody in Bunnell online here in Ormond, Lord, that needs the working conviction of your spirit, my prayers for that work to begin, to be completed, and for those who feel its weight to confess their sins and to come clean to you so they can begin once again to live in you the right way. Father, we love you. We pray this in Jesus' name, and all of God's people said,